Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. It's again a great episode because I know who's going to be here, and it's a special guest. It's basically a style icon that I met in one of the masterminds that I was in, and I'm really thrilled that she's here. So welcome, Bea Saloa.
Oh my God, what an introduction. I was smiling, Nicolene, already, because we always have amazing conversations about style and human design. So this one will be not exception.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to have you as my guest. And I'm really excited for all the great things that we're going to be discussing. So before we dive into that, please introduce yourself to the listeners.
So I'm a personal brand stylist, which means I put together a personal brand and a style, and translating who your brand is and actually who you are, because we represent our brands as female entrepreneurs. So I translate it into style. So the way you show up, the way you talk with clothes, so the way you wear your vision. So all the visuals we wear every day to spread our message as female entrepreneurs.
Yes, I love that. I absolutely love what you do because it's always so colorful and it's daring and it's bold. It really makes a statement. And I really think you help women, female entrepreneurs, to make a statement with their clothes, with their appearance, with their colors. And I absolutely love how you do that. So, and like you said, we always have great conversations. So I know this one is not going to be an exception to that rule. So yeah, let's dive into the content of the podcast. So every entrepreneur that I get to ask this question is, how did you start being an entrepreneur? How did you get into it?
It was really funny story in a way, because I can tell you, I would never say I will start my entrepreneurial journey until COVID started. So I was always doing a lot of activities. I was working in a creative environment for 20 years. So I was really doing a lot of photo shoots, meeting a lot of clients. Styling, I loved fashion, but I always work for big companies, for big corporations. Then actually, when I moved to Netherlands 10 years ago, I was already in fashion, I was already in styling. But truly speaking, to start actually my online journey, because my entrepreneurial journey started really 10 years ago, but my online journey started just after COVID, really, actually really quickly, because I needed to switch everything into online and I needed to learn online as a new tool.
Yeah.
And then I realized that it's even more than ever important to show up as your true self, to show up what your message is, to show up who your brand is, and to dare to show up, to even, you know, it's actually all starts, how do you feel? Do you have this confidence? Do you have this focus maybe that day when you need it? Do you dare to show up who you really are? And then it all started to work together. So I would say last 10 years, I'm really switching into being a business woman, as we all are probably listening. Mm-hmm. But last, how many years? More than three and a half in online space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so true that I think COVID has shifted so many things for so many people. And it really gave us all like a rethink of, okay, how do I want to run my business? How can I run my business, especially when you're faced with lockdown situations and all of that? So it's great that you made this shift, because especially in the online space, we need to be aware of how we come across and what messages we send when we show up online. So I think your work is very much needed. And I always get inspired by the stuff that you share, because I hate shopping. I really hate shopping. I get overwhelmed so easily when I'm shopping. And that has everything to do with my human design, because I have 5 open centers in my design, and I'm a generator. So I respond. So when I get into a store and there is a lot on display, I need to respond. But with all the open centers, I get overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed.
Yeah, and this is a tricky part, actually. Yeah. And I think to all our listeners who have this human design as you have, who are really overwhelmed going shopping, or even, you know, I can imagine, and I hear it often from my clients, when you open your wardrobe, you are overwhelmed already. You don't even get to the shop. You just wake up in the morning and you open your wardrobe and you really see all these different styles, and maybe not everything fits. And actually nothing mix and match together, because you don't know what's your style. And doesn't need to be like that. You know, this is when I enter, and actually I love talking about this. So I also give a lot of knowledge, you know, I just love the subject, and I feel it's such an empowering tool for us women. And I really hate listening or hearing that somebody gave up to go live, to do the workshop, to have a speaking gig, or to go to networking. And we more often go offline, so we start to really network in a real life. So it's not only that we show ourselves, I would say, torso and half body, but we show ourselves fully, and we need to really feel this confidence and really openness to be willing to connect.
Yeah.
And I really feel, I feel like I'm on a mission, you know, I want us all women to be able to share our message.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything to stop us. And this, yeah, I really feel it's a first step to, you know, I don't want us to feel like I don't have makeup, I don't have good jacket, I don't have anything to show up when I need to show up, because now I want to say something. So I can imagine, Nicoline, that it all depends on human design. If you go to show up spontaneously, or you need to prepare more. So it's all connected. So I think, like, having this in mind, for all of us, it will be different. But I hear it that it stops all and a lot of women so much that I really decided to change it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you're on a mission. Absolutely. And it's so needed, because I think, like you said, you know, too many women are too shy or too reluctant to show up and to show themselves, even on a live video or a video for that matter, that they feel like, oh, but I don't look so good, or I should lose weight first, or I don't know what to wear, I don't know how people will look at me. There are so many things going on, and especially when you look at your human design, there are several elements that could influence exactly that. Because when you have an open heart center, for instance, in human design, you're very sensitive to other people's opinions about you. But it could also be like me, when with an open head, an open Ajna, open throat, open G center, I'm like, you know, I have so many styles. I could be anyone. I could be a very classy, you know, corporate lady. And I could be like someone who wears a baggy jeans and a hoodie. And I can be everything in between.
But, you know, it's nothing wrong in that, because I really believe that we can have different styles as long as we know our best colors, our best fit. It's like a basics of finding your personal brand style. Mm. Because when you know only these two, you enter the shop and then there is a natural selection. You don't go to colors which you know doesn't suit you, you don't take fit even to your fitting room because you know this is not your fit. Yeah. So maybe some seasons, even trends will be not for you. I don't believe and I don't recommend following the trend. And let's say trends, because it's more than one. But I really recommend to being aware, knowing that something it really suits you is in the trend, going shopping when it's a gap in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
But it's like building awareness.
Yeah.
So like also being open, like I can have few styles because I can imagine, Nicoline, some days you want to wear these baggy jeans.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go to this networking meeting, you know, and then you want to be classy lady because you feel like this is also a part of you. But yeah. If you know which classy dress is good for you.
Yeah.
And which jeans, because maybe baggy, maybe not baggy. Maybe you need to focus on jeans and be comfortable. So this already minimizes the choice when you go shopping. And once you know actually your capsule brand wardrobe, you don't need to go shopping that often. This is the biggest misunderstanding, I would say, with thinking about style and working with stylists, that we need to go shopping. It's not the first step. I would say it's the last and not often happening in a big scale. So we first look into the wardrobe. We first see like what's there once we know the first steps, like color fits.
Yeah.
And then we just look, because I can tell you we all have overloaded wardrobes.
Yes.
It's most of the time more than less, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that already helps a lot, that you know what fits your body. So years and years and years ago, I had a kind of, well, color test and a personality type test when it comes to shape of the body. So I know, like, for instance, oh, and I'm doing it wrong because I'm wearing a round necked shirt. But for me, with my body shape, a V-neck is best. I know that. And I can see it when I wear it. I see it. I'm like, yeah, okay. The V-neck is always better than the round one. But of course, you know, every now and again, I want to wear this shirt because it's very comfortable.
Yeah, but you still gotta make your choices.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it doesn't mean that every time you need to be like a, you know, victim of rules in a way. You just choose. One time you choose a V-neck and one time you decide I want comfort, I want to look like I'm aware.
Yeah.
And you know, I do the same. I know that, for example, black, it's not my color, like pure black, not at all. But I have some days that I really feel for black.
Yeah.
And I have few items, I think like two, maybe three in my wardrobe, because I know I need black sometimes to feel as I want to feel. It's more often when I want to focus in a way, when I need to calm down, when I don't want to go out, you know, like mentally also I need a space. But it doesn't really look good on me, but there are tricks, you know, to save it. So I know I need more makeup.
Yeah,
I need lipstick, maybe I need some jewelry to brighten up my face.
Maybe
I need some accessories on my hair, although my hair now is so short that I cannot, but there are ways, there are tricks and tips we can always, so it's not only that we know rules and we need to really follow them even though we don't feel like, because there are ways to say that. So when I'm often talking with my clients and they really love something, they really love the color or the shape, or like you say, this is such a comfortable shirt or t-shirt, then we work on it.
Yeah, it's great. There's always a solution and a workaround. Always. That's basically what you're saying. I love what we did because we spoke about human design and style a lot and how you can help your clients make the best decisions. And we did that based on their human design. And I think it was so lovely to see how their human design plays a huge role in finding their style and in finding the way that you can work with them. Could you tell a bit about that?
Yeah, this was actually really eye-opening. So this idea that I could feel, and I always felt that, you know, there are rules in style. There are, this is like this color psychology, fashion psychology, first impression. So a lot of rules are there. But at the end, we are really unique. And I really believe every client is different. And I really believe This is our uniqueness, which makes us stand out and being memorable. So not having pink hair, but although if you want, you can have pink hair, but you stand out being yourself.
Yeah.
And then we talked often about human design. And actually, you are the one who introduced me to human design. I've heard about this a lot. But years ago when we met, you were the first one where I really started to go deeper into my human design. And then I started to put it together in a way like there must be a connection. And then we talked. So we had this conversation and then you confirmed that, yes, this is actually a very good idea to put it all together.
Yeah.
Because we let my clients to be even more individual, even more focused on of who they really are and how they need to show up.
Yeah.
And even which approach to style we should take. Because like you say, different centers are open.
Yeah.
Some of them will be overwhelmed with shopping. Some of them will really want to have this specific style.
Yeah.
And it will be very important for them. So for me, it was really as a tool to navigate supporting my clients even better as individuals.
Yeah.
For my clients, it was because we also did this analysis and charts for my clients. So Nicoline was also supporting my clients who sometimes were also first time introduced to human design. So I really feel it's even more important that we go even deeper because we went also to the ways they should show up, the ways they should approach the style.
And
to accept it, because I really feel, Nicoline, the human design and knowing your chart, it's like also accepting who you are.
Absolutely.
And taking your talents on the surface and using them, not fighting them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially in online world, I don't know if you agree that it's a lot of sameness, I would call it, you know, that it's a lot of, especially this year, I really feel the same is happening everywhere. And to really be yourself is challenging. It's like we need to dare to do it. And human design is an amazing tool. So I really find combining human design and style as a really modern tool and new tool. I haven't heard anybody doing this before. So that's why I was also, Nicoline, when we were talking, I was like, Nicoline, let's try a manifesting generator. And you know that the ideas and response, and I really feel it's needed.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the nice thing. So you're a 3-5 manifesting generator. I am a 1-3 generator. So we have the 3 in common, the profile line 3. And the 3 is all about experimenting, testing, trying. And we both have this in our design. So for you, it's in your conscious design. For me, it's in my subconscious design. But it is very much present. So we just went for it. We took a leap. And we tested it and we tried and it worked really well. So we're like, oh, we're onto something.
And we were both excited. So this was also amazing because we were both like believing that we just try, but we feel somewhere deep down that it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does. It really makes sense. And that's what we saw with your clients. It makes sense and it makes sense to them, even if they don't know it yet. But it's all about the 3 is all about experimenting, testing and trying. And that's what exactly what we did. And with you as a manifesting generator, looking at your journey of being an entrepreneur and how you shifted your focus to the online space, because a manifesting generator is multi-passionate, multi-talented. And you show that you are living your design and you didn't even know it at the time.
Until we met.
Yeah, until we met. And then you were like, oh, yeah, this is actually me. This is who I am. And that's the great thing about human design, that it's always some kind of permission that you get. Like, this is you. Because so many people talk about being yourself. But if you don't really know who you are, it's going to be hard. And that's why you and me, we both help people to discover who they really are, but from very different angles.
Yeah, as you say, I think like when somebody will ask us, or we ask somebody, who are you? This is the most difficult question ever.
Absolutely.
Because how we should know? But you know, I remember when you told me the first thing that I'm multi-passionate, then I started to understand that actually I always do at least three things in the same time.
Yes.
So I'm teaching students of Amsterdam Fashion Academy fashion styling. I'm often in the photo studio. I'm doing personal brand styling. Everything is connected with fashion and style, but I feel really fulfilled being active.
Yeah.
Putting these all things together, and I'm really good. More I do, better I am navigating this all. And then it helped me understand and actually accept it, not to fight it, because actually I had in my mind that I should focus on one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's then I understand that not.
Yeah. It's such a common misconception that we always tell everyone, like, oh, you should focus on just one thing. You need to choose just one thing. And in fact, it's the worst advice you could give to a manifesting generator, because manifesting generators need all the different projects and the different interests. They need it in order to be inspired, to feel energetic. And if you force a manifesting generator to choose just one thing, you're killing their creativity. And your creativity, and that shows in your design, your creativity is one of your biggest assets. Because when I look at you in action, and you do a lot online, and you do the masterclasses, and people can sign up and see what you do and how you do it. When I think of you, and I mean, the combination, for those who cannot see this podcast, but can only hear what you're wearing today, I would never come up with a combination, but I love it. And I could never think of, oh, but this is nice. You know, and it is nice. It is really nice. But I could never create such a combination. But it's your creativity that creates that, and that shows people, like, this is how you can do it. And it's so inspiring. So making you choose just one thing will kill your creativity. And that's the worst thing to do.
But this is also scary. In a way, because it's happening. But as we are talking, Nicoline, I also see that it's not only that we know about ourselves more when we know our human design, but also look like cooperation. Like you said, we have this number three together, and we really are always on fire. When we talk together, we have so many ideas and we do it. And I can imagine not everything, it's every time it's like that, right? So sometimes we want to force some cooperations which are not working, or our clients are different than us, and we need to learn how to navigate. But once we know that, and we accept that we are all different. When it comes to cooperations, we can make a decision. Do I want it or maybe don't?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, that we need to know and understand ourselves first, especially when we are the business and we are the business. And then it's important that we understand others as well. And human design is a great tool about that. And that, what you said, you know, we have this three in common. So we have this thing going on. But at the same time, the three is about experimenting, testing, and trying. So it may be happening that we try or experiment with something and it's not working. Mm-hmm. But then we know, like, okay, this isn't working. So it's not a disaster. It doesn't say anything about our collaboration, but it's just something we tested and tried and it didn't work. And we can move on. So that's the most important thing, I think.
But actually, I experiment quite a lot in business lately, and I'm quite fine when it's not working. I'm just moving on.
Yeah. And that's the best thing to do. So when you think of your entrepreneurial journey, what kind of hurdles did you come across that you had to take?
For me, showing up was quite easy in a way. But actually, I have a very good method, I've noticed. I didn't even know that I have a method to all this madness. You know, I go live often when I need to go out.
Mm.
I have 5 or 10 minutes, and I didn't do it on purpose. I just was like, you know, my graphic and my plan is so tight that I always have, like, you know, last, and I know that going live is like 5 minutes, 3 minutes for me. So I always, before I go out, I do lives. But it happened that one time I had more time and I thought I will go live today. And then I've noticed that I'm hesitating.
Mm.
So I was like, I don't know this feeling before, but then it means that I just did this, you know, method of just like pushing the button. I always know more or less what I want to say, because like you say, I'm responding. So I have inspiration and I love going spontaneously live, giving, you know, I've learned that I need to give a title to say about what I'm talking, because before I was just going and talking and I thought nobody will know what I'm talking about. So this is, or this I also had learned.
Mm-hmm.
But also I've noticed, and I know I was speaking to some of my clients, and I know this going live, it's a big thing. And I've noticed that moment that actually I start to understand that when you prepare more, and I'm sure some human design kinds, like, how should I call it?
Energy types.
Energy types.
Yeah.
Will have this problem more than others.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that I unconsciously found a method before I even realized that I just go live because I need to go live, because I have 10 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't think too much. And yeah. Then it works wonders for me. So I found my own way.
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest hurdle actually was to start being consistent.
Mm.
Being consistent. And it works amazingly when I started doing this. But I was hesitating so long to, you know, to deliver my masterclasses once a month, to really put a date. When I finish one, that I have a date for another one. And yeah. It works amazing, but it was a long journey for me to get to the point that I know that I'm just doing once a month masterclass.
Yeah.
And this is also a journey. I'm just learning this, that, okay, consistency is the key, and especially online, when we know with all these algorithms, we know that not all our lives, all our posts are visible.
Yeah.
It's not showing often to our clients or future clients. Sometimes it does. So also patience.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I will ask you, is it like not being patient is also like a characteristic of manifesting generator?
Yeah. Yeah, because manifesting generators are always looking for the shortcut.
Yeah.
Because they know where they want to go, and they always want the quickest, fastest way. And that's a great talent to have, to always find the shortcut. But when it comes to running a business, especially an online business, you need to be patient as well. So boredom is a very common thing for manifesting generators. Like, oh, do I need to repeat the same message over and over again? Do I need to say the same thing again? I've said it already twice, so now people should get it. But for a manifesting generator, it's really important. Like, you need to repeat the same message, not two times, but 10 times or 20 times. And for a manifesting generator, therefore, it's so important that they have these other projects. Mm-hmm. So they keep being inspired, because if they should be focusing on just one thing and keep repeating the same message over and over again, they burn out. It doesn't give them joy. It doesn't bring them the energy that they need. So that's why a manifesting generator really needs those various projects, so to feel the energy and to be able to keep going.
This is also very interesting, because I really have like a mantra. I really have this sentence, and often it comes to me that there must be simpler way. I really have it all the time in my mind. Whatever I'm doing, there must be a simple way.
Yeah.
Well, to solve it.
This is manifesting generator.
Some people look at me and they just like, why we should look for a simple way even, you know? We just do it longer, but we just, and I'm like, I need really, I feel like this is my deep need to simplify things.
Yeah. But this is typical for a manifesting generator. You always look for the shortcut, and you're great at finding shortcuts. And that's why, and especially in your business, people want to hire you, because they don't want to spend hours and hours figuring out like, oh, what do I need to buy? What do I need to wear? They want to work with you, so you can help them find it. So it's easier for them. It's quicker, and it's really making an impact all the time. And I think that's, you were already living your design without even knowing it.
Yeah, this is also amazing, because I feel a lot of our listeners will have the same. And also what I'm noticing, that actually a lot of my clients, they know already that something is off, but they don't know what. So I think it's the same a little bit with human design.
Yeah.
That we do, we feel less comfortable, more, but we are not leaning on to what's better because we don't understand.
Yeah.
So this is the same with style. I hear often, like, some of my clients, they don't like to wear turtlenecks, for example. They have a lot of turtlenecks because they like how it looks on somebody else.
Yeah.
But they don't feel comfortable. And then I hear that actually they are not comfortable having showing their breast because they really feel it's, they feel shy. They feel maybe it's bigger than they would want it. And then when I explain that actually wearing turtleneck shows more than you would like. And on the opposite, when you have smaller breasts and you want to have bigger impression, then it's a good solution. So one of examples that we feel that something is off for us.
Yeah.
It's because it's also not about rules. It's also about the feeling that I don't feel comfortable wearing this.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you understand why. So I really believe the same with human design. We start, and actually whatever you are saying every time, Nicolin, you tell me something new, and sometimes you repeat the same, and I feel like I need to hear it a few times.
Yeah, that's the case.
To hear it, really.
Yeah, but that's always the case, you know, because especially in human design, there are so many elements to your design. I mean, as people, we are not like one-dimensional, simple people. We are very complex creatures, and it's the same with human design. We can really dive really deep into your human design and still find new elements like every single day. So for me, it's like a journey of a lifetime. I'm learning every day about human design. I've been in this world of human design for 5 years already, but I'm learning every day and I love it. So, and that's the great thing about it. So, sometimes it's repetitive, sometimes it's new, and it's always adding a piece to the entire puzzle. And that's what I love about it. So, and it, in the end, it helps us to become more us and more successful in being ourselves and being authentic. So speaking about success, I would love to hear what your definition of success would be.
So I can tell you, I thought success will be about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And having your own time and doing whatever you want to do whenever you want to do. But I discovered that actually for me, success is being able to do what I'm passionate about. And even I would add next layer that I'm doing this from different perspectives, because like I told you, I do three different things, and being able to do them all is for me the biggest success ever.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I love that definition that you're able to do what you're passionate about and in a way that you're passionate about. Yeah. So I think that's a very great definition of success. The funny thing is, every single person, and I know I say this a lot during the podcast interviews, but every single person who came to the podcast as a guest has a different definition than the previous guest. And no one has ever mentioned numbers or status as an element of success. So for me, that's a great confirmation that I'm talking to the right people. My kind of people.
Yeah, super.
Yeah, I love that. So before we wrap up this wonderful conversation, I would love to hear your top three pieces of advice that you would like to give to our listeners.
So I would say first one, find your icon. When it comes to style, it's often easier when we start and we look outside. So we often admire some people, I will call it, because it can be celebrity, it can be politician, it can be your neighbor. It can be somebody from your family that you really feel like, oh my God, she always looks like I want to. She looks vibrant, she looks joyful, or maybe she looks focused, or maybe she looks up-leveled as I want. So think about people who really inspire you when it comes to style. It would be the first tip on inspiration, because this is where everything starts. The second tip is find your best colors. Easy said, easier said than done. Yes. But I have one tip. So when you go shopping, we often look at our whole body most of the time, on our hips and our back and our butt, you know. But the very important part of shopping is checking the color, especially of tops, or also when you wear dresses,
yeah,
with your face. So put it close to your face and check, do I look vibrant? Do I look healthy? Or maybe the opposite. Now, all of a sudden, you will notice that wrong colors gives you this sick feeling, or you feel that you see your dark circles, even though you don't have them. Mm-hmm. You have more wrinkles because there is this shadow of this wrong color,
yeah,
or more spots. So often also, we don't see your eyes. We don't see your lips. So all the colors which really brings your eyes, brings mm-hmm. your lips, brings yeah. your skin color, these are your colors.
Yeah.
So this is a second tip you can implement already going shopping.
Yeah. One question about that. Does yeah? it change? Does it change over time as we get older? Do yes, our colors change?
Depending on your hair color as well.
Okay.
So I had a client who was warm color type. She was autumn. Mm-hmm. And then she started to be gray, like mm-hmm. really beautiful white gray. And her color type has changed. She started to be winter.
Oh.
This was really, actually, it was amazing journey, because it was really challenging for her to get used to it. All life, you can imagine, all life wearing warm colors. And all of a sudden, she started to feel something is off, something doesn't work anymore. And she didn't know what. And then when I discovered and I told her that, she needed some time to digest it in a way. Especially yeah. when we were doing decluttering, organizing again, and then you got rid of really of clothes you really loved. Some we saved because there were ways to save it with my tricks. But the color palette has changed, so it can.
Yeah, okay. Change. Okay. Because
I'm also giving my own example. You know, I'm the one who is changing color, hair color often. So I go from, you know, from ginger, even platinum blonde, to dark brown. And I go on the scale, you know, I yeah. can, sometimes I'm really good. Like now I have, like, I'm just also looking how I look, how do I like my white hair showing, you know, so I can go more muted. I can go lighter than before when I was like platinum blonde, or when I was darker brown, when I really needed this more vibrant color, but
yeah.
still I was in the scale of color.
Yeah,
but it's we need to learn how to navigate it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't think I will have the issue of getting gray hair, because this is my natural color,
which is amazing. And Nicoline, I told you this is so beautiful.
Yeah, it is my natural color, and I have my mom to thank, because she's 88 and she still has her natural color.
Wow! So she has no gray hair.
No.
Wow.
No, nothing.
Are all. You a human being, Nicoline?
Oh, I'm an alien. No, but it's so it's like a family thing, apparently. But I was really wondering about the color, and I know you talk about color a lot. And I was like, could it change over time that your skin color changes, but when your hair changes, I can imagine that
hair is one thing, but also look, when you imagine that we don't have often healthy lifestyle,
yeah,
you know, when you smoke more, you're even just taking example of smoking, when you smoke your skin changes,
yeah,
not when you are 25, but when you are 50 and older, so
yeah.
we start to feel the influence, and there is also hormonal changes,
yeah.
So, you know, it's not, I really feel the hair has the biggest influence, because it changes, and it really, like, even now when I have very short hair, I don't really care about my hair color, because we don't see my hair at all, because I have very short hair now. So I feel like I can do a lot
yeah.
now. But
yeah.
when you have longer, you have more you have, then yeah. it really influences the look of your face and influences the look of your overall
yeah. Great.
Silhouette as well.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. So that was my question about your second.
I know you love color.
Yes, apparently. All right. Let's hear your tip three.
My tip three is finding your empowering items. And these are items where you really feel like you look at them. It doesn't need to be piece of clothes. It can be accessory. It can be maybe nail polish. It can be maybe your beloved jumper as well. Or, you know, whatever you feel, it gives you this energy to tackle the most difficult parts of running a business or sometimes living life that day. So so for me, for example, I change it often depending of also my style changes with my hair as well. So I really notice that when I have very short hair, I go more even feminine, more different shapes, different patterns. But then I also change my empowering items. So now it's big ring. So I have a ring, I have actually stone from my mother engagement ring with my father. It's like a huge stone, and she was told that it's like a, you know, real rubin, and then she discovered it's not. But I have the stone, and I decided, I met an artist here in Amsterdam, and so I really have very funny variation of this ring, and every time, it's huge, and every time I put it on, I really feel I'm in my element.
Yeah.
If I need to, so like this evening, I will have a masterclass and I put it on. I really wear it. Yeah. And it gives me this feeling, you know, sometimes when I wake up and I feel like, oh my God, I had sleepless night, cheat when we're waking up and I need to do so much. I need focus, or I need, you know, to straighten, you know, up and then go through the day because it was not the best night, or we have ups and downs. Yeah. So these empowering items, this is a very easy tool you can use today. Looking into your wardrobe, looking into your drawer and find it, even lingerie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I really, like some time ago, I really changed all my lingerie drawer. I just was like, I get rid of all these things which are not serving me anymore. And I really up-leveled, and nobody sees but you. Yeah.
But you feel it. But you feel
exactly.
The
and you just know. And yes. This is, you know, this is something empowering items. It's something, you know, it can be also lipstick.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, I remember when my son was born as the first one. I have three children, so this was like a first experience being a mother, and I was so tired. Nobody tells you about this, but you know, being a mother, like there is no, you don't learn that, but you just need to experience that.
Yeah.
And I remember first time I really started to use lipstick every day. When I was going out to the park, I was putting this really bright pink lipstick, and it was my power item, empowering item.
Mm.
And it gave me so much energy. It reminded me that I'm still myself. You know, I don't sleep. I have another priorities, but there is still my part in me. So this was very powerful. And for all of us, you know, when you go through more difficult part in your life, or even you feel amazing, but you need this more confidence when you have a speaking gig,
yeah,
or you go networking. You know, for me, often it's also big necklaces.
Yeah.
And I will give you also one, I will reveal one secret that actually it's an amazing conversation starter often. When you go networking and you have this power item, you know, and like in my case, these big necklaces, it's often makes my life easier, you know, to start this chit chat and small conversation. It just starts itself often, you know.
Oh, that's such a great idea. That's such a great idea, because I am very bad at small talk. I'm really bad at small talk. I really
also not the best.
No, you know, I want conversations to mean something, and I want to go deep on stuff. And for me, it's always like, okay, how do I start? Where do I start? So this is a great tip. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and so easy, right? You can start next time when you go networking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so easy. And I know my power items. I didn't even know they were called power items, but I do have them, the empowering items. Mm-hmm. For me, it's my nail polish.
Mm-hmm.
I always wear nail polish, and preferably in very distinctive colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not about pink or, you know, the soft colors. It's either red or dark brown or, you know, those kind of colors. And my earrings, I have those hooped earrings. Mm-hmm. I always wear these hooped earrings. These are really like, okay, this is me.
But this is also funny what you say. I would like to add on nail polish, because you reminded me about something. I remember in a long time ago, when I was really switching from working in media, publishing houses, into fashion, it was very challenging period for me. And I really remember I was all the time remembering, and really it was important for me to have nail polish. So, you know, all every time for me, it was like the symbol of it will be okay. It's like change is always challenging because we don't like change, but I dare to make a first step. So this was really very important part of my week. It's not anymore because now I switch to other items. So also it changes. It shows that it changes through your life. Yeah. Because we change, so it's also okay to navigate this change.
Yeah.
But it was so empowering.
Yeah,
the nail polish.
Yeah, it is. And for me, it's because I'm a generator and you're a manifesting generator. So for me, it's responding as well. It's responding to the weather, the season, the way I feel. Because in summertime, you know, when the sun is out, I love wearing red. But when it's getting more dark and when it's getting more fall or winter, I tend to look at the darker colors. So it's always responding. So I love how our human design responds naturally and you don't even notice. And it's not until we started talking about that. And I was like, oh yeah, this is how it works. Really interesting, really intriguing. So I love the tips. I love the find your icons, find your best colors, and find your empowering items. I mean, this is so, it's not easy, but it's simple. It may not be easy. And that's why I'm going to share all your details in the show notes so people can contact you when they are stuck or when they're overwhelmed. They need to contact you. And they should, because you're amazing at what you do. And I really love to see how things will progress. Also with our plans, because we have some exciting plans.
We have exciting plans and it will happen soon. So yes. We reveal it.
Absolutely. So people will stay tuned. And I really would love to thank you for this wonderful conversation. And we will stay in touch. And again, I'm going to share all your details so people will be able to follow you too.
Thank you, Nicoline. And thank you, everybody who is listening to us.
Absolutely. Thank you. And for all our listeners, the next episode is going to be amazing too. So stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. So please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.